Hello and welcome to Art Waves, a podcast about arts and culture in small rural towns. My name is Marian Myers, and I'm curious to learn more about the arts and the impact they have on my small town of Port Perry in the rural township of Skugog, Ontario, in the traditional territory of the Mississaugas of Skugog Island. Someday soon, trouble's gonna be arriving. Pride always comes before the fall. Today, I'm speaking to Brent Donnelly. Brent, tell me about your business, your current business, and what you're doing right now.
So I run concerts. I'm a tour director for a company called Live Nation that is a big concert company, obviously, around the world. And I work for them to run their concerts all over the world. As bands travel and tour around this fine planet, they need somebody to oversee it. And that's where I come in.
Yeah. So tell me about your background and then how it led to that.
Well, I'm a Port Perry boy. Actually, you know, if I'm narrowing the field, I grew up in Caesarea and Blackstock area, and then I ended up going to Port Perry High School, and I went to Cartwright Public School. So that town holds very fond memories for me all the way around. And I started in that town as a musician in a local punk kind of metal and rock band called Mr. Machete. That was a lot of fun with two of my great friends in this world, and we, you know, toured around the country and played with a bunch of different bands in that time. And in that process, I ended up being interested in how the concert business worked. The more concerts that we played, the more shows that we played, I was meeting more tour managers and managers along the way, and thought it would be fun to start putting on concerts. And our friends over at Trader Sam's, when that was a thing in Port Perry, had said to me, hey, if you got, you know, A, they used to have our band come in and play all the time, which was a lot of fun. And B, Sam from there was like, hey, if you ever want to bring a concert in here, let me know. So through that process, I was introduced to an agent out of Toronto who, you know, represented a whole bunch of different bands. And when Mr. Machete was making their first record, we made it in Prince Albert, and we had a drummer from a big Canadian band called The Headstones come in and actually play with us on the record and did some stuff. And we became friends with him, and we had said, hey, it would be a lot of fun if you came and played a show in Port Perry. And we ended up setting it up at Trader Sam's, put, you know, our band opened up for them. And that kind of led to this relationship between myself and the agents, and I got offered more shows in Port Perry and like Lindsay, Peterborough kind of area. So I brought in bands like I'm Other Earth and the Killjoys and all these kind of bands that, you know, a lot of your listeners might not know about, but they were big Canadian bands at the time. And we did, you know, shows at the Port Perry Community Center and Latcham Center and you name it. And it just kind of led to this really cool journey of meeting different bands and artists and tour managers along the way, which led me to having an opportunity to tour as a tour manager for some of those bands, which led to me meeting a lot of people that do my job now around the country. And basically, when I moved to Vancouver in 2005, I was asked by some of my colleagues that do what this job is that I do now, if I'd be interested in, you know, learning how to do concerts on a bigger scale, you know, arenas and big things like that. And I said yes, and here we are. So now I'm traveling the world and doing the same thing.
So Brent, describe what the job is. What's it like to be a tour manager? What do you do? What's the day to day?
Well,
what's the
long-term? So now what I do, like, so when I started as a tour manager back in like the late 90s out of Port Perry, I would go and manage an artist's day-to-day stuff like their travel and, you know, getting them to the shows and settling all their shows, doing all the math and the accounting for the shows. And if they had press, you know, taking them to press and just basically, you know, glorified babysitter in that position. The position that I have now, I basically oversee the running of a concert So I pull all of the departments together based on the work that our team has done, you know, from LA and Toronto and all these different different markets, from ticketing and marketing and you name it. Basically what happens is I go and I facilitate the concert on behalf of the company, but I'll oversee the whole tour around the world for the period of time that that artist is on tour for. So if I'm doing, you know, the artist that I'm out with now, we've already been out for 25 weeks. We've got another 5 weeks ahead, starting this week, in South America. And then that'll be the end of my year. And through the course of this year, I've gone through North America, across Canada, into Europe, back to North America, and now South America. And what we do is I just work with all the departments involved to oversee the whole tour, on behalf of Live Nation, but also on behalf, you know, on to make sure the artist is and their team are happy with how the tour is going. I do all the accounting. I work with our ticketing team, you know, to just oversee the general flow of a tour of this magnitude. So it's a lot of moving parts. And in essence, I'm a chess master / dot connector / wrangler of people now.
Yeah. So a huge organizational skills going into that. And it's interesting because you started out by describing what your creative side was, and that was as a musician. And I think that's really cool to come across somebody who's got this great balance of creative talent, but also is an organizer, planner, you know, has the strategic planning side down pat. That is pretty cool. You don't find that mix of talent very often in people, but it's hard work, isn't it? The organizing.
It is absolutely, you know, a hard job, but it's very rewarding as well. And, you know, I put the time in to make it so. And so that for me is important. And, you know, it takes a lot. You know, it's a classic tale of it takes an army, right, to do mm-hmm. something like this. There are a lot of departments involved in making something of that magnitude happen. And, you know, I'm a small but also large part of it. So. It's kind of a weird one. It's a very important job, but it's also, you know, there's a lot of people that are involved in making it happen. And we all work together to, you know, get it down the road.
Yeah. And so what do you recommend for somebody who's interested in the kind of thing that you're doing? What could they do?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one because, you know, when I started, you know, and this is a classic tale of like, back in my day, but it was one of those things where there was a lot more opportunities for people to see artists and go and volunteer at a club or go and volunteer at a theater or somewhere and try to help load in equipment and meet some of these people that are running these shows. Now it's maybe downtown Toronto, it's easier to do a little bit of that, but these rural areas aren't as prominent with live venues anymore. So if you're to answer this question from a broad spectrum, you know, if you live in a major market or if you have access to a major market, that you should definitely, you know, dive into your passion first. So if you're a musician, then fine, go all the way and be the musician. But if you want to do what I do as far as organizing concerts and all the rest of it, you need to learn how those concerts run, which means you need to learn about events. And there's so many ways that you can get involved in something like that. So for in Port Perry, you know, I back in the day, we used to have festival days there, but if there's something like event happening, some kind of event driven, you know, thing that's happening in Port Perry, you know, you should volunteer and learn the basics of logistics. Like mm-hmm. you can't run, you know, the music is the small portion of a concert. You know, the other part of it is, you know, you've got to park people. Are there bathrooms? Is there food for them? Are there beverages? Is it a hot day? Is there shade? It's all these tiny little things that go into an event. And so if you're doing, whether it even just be like a street carnival or something in, you know, in the park there, there has to be logistics. There has to be like, are we closing this street? Are we, you know, do we have police coming in? Do we have security coming in? All of that stuff happens at every single event, whether it's music or a fishing tournament or whatever. There's logistics. So first and foremost, you need to get involved in finding out about logistics and how things work. And then once you get a flow for how the town works or how logistics work or how roads close and how all these different things happen, you can start narrowing and getting into something like, well, I really want to do concerts. Great. Well, then go and volunteer at, you know, at any event that's happening within, you know, 100 kilometers of you that are, that has live music, and learn how they're doing it. And then just, it just keeps building from there. Cause the more times you do that, the more people you meet, the more suppliers you meet, the more, everything that you meet, and can lead to an opportunity that might present itself for you to actually get paid to help at an event, and then, you know, work with a band, and then, you know, it just kind of goes from there. So
yeah, and lots of creatives out there want people to organize them. You know, they want them to tell them what to do. You know,
it's I mean, and you guys have, you know, in Port Perry there through your team. I mean, it was always a relatively busy town. At least when I was there, there was always something going on. And I'm, you know, bring festival days back. That's what I'm going to say to everybody. That was a blast.
Yeah.
But,
We've been doing culture days and making it a time frame where it's really, really big. And we have live music and live presentations and so on. And it's interesting to me that we don't get more people of the age that you were at when you started coming out and volunteering and learning these things, because,
well, my age though, my age though, you're not going to get people, you know, in mid 40s generally wanting to get into the concert business.
Oh, no, that's what I meant, was your age when you started volunteering. You know, it's just,
it's interesting, but the thing is like, let's remember that, you know, I got into the concert side of things because I was passionate about music and concerts, and I had an opportunity to do them, and I had a relationship with agents that allowed me to do them. What's changed now? And the thing is, in Port Perry, I mean, Adam's Speakers is there. It's one of the biggest speaker, you know, and PA companies in the world, and it's located in Port Perry, Ontario. And, you know, the fact that they're right there, I mean, I would have loved for that to happen when I was trying to, you know, cut my teeth and do concerts. But a lot of people don't realize that they're right in your backyard there. And so there's still an opportunity there to get involved. It's just whether, you know, like with me bringing concerts into town, we would have people come and show up, you know, that wanted to be involved in those concerts. But if those events aren't happening in town, then people aren't going to think about it. Like, you kind of have to remind them that concerts are happening. You know, a couple years ago, I was there for Big Rec on Canada Day, and we did an event at the fairgrounds, and it was great. I saw a whole bunch of people that I went to school with, but a whole bunch of people would come up to me and go, you know, we need more of this. And obviously, I didn't put it on. I was hired by the local team to kind of come in and help it. But it definitely, it was like, this town needs this again. They need this boost. I mean, there's so many people in the area. And I think if you had more of those happening, you would get more people volunteering and more people interested in that side of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
If people aren't inundated with it or presented with it, they don't think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such an outlet for everybody to be able to go and see local music, see live music, live performance of any kind. So anything we can do in the town, in any small town, to get that going would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think it definitely needs to happen. And, you know, there's 800 people everywhere that'll come to the right show. So, you know, there's a market everywhere. There's a market everywhere, you know, for everything.
Yeah. So. And do you get involved in the marketing side of the show, or is it more of a tour, or is it you stick strictly to the tour management?
No, I'm on production, and I'm on the production side of things. So marketing is handled in a completely separate entity. If I was doing my own concerts, you know, but like back in Port Perry, you know, I was putting posters up on all the thing, on all the everywhere, and advertising in all the local stores. But no, for me, it was it is mostly production based, which is logistics, like when are we loading in, and, you know, how many stagehands do we need, and you know, what's the rent on the building, and you know, I do all the accounting as well. So, you know, I'm overseeing expenses for the show. And
did you go and take any kind of formal training to try and boost up those skills, like those the bookkeeping skills you're talking about?
No. So what happens is that I did go to Durham College. Back in like 94, they had an entertainment administration course. It's a much more dialed in, detailed course now than the one that I was in. And I highly recommend people go there and see Marnie and everybody and dive into that course. But I basically learned the basics of like theater management and some basic accounting in the college side of it. But, you know, nothing trains you quicker than just going out and doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of, I was kind of thrown into it and saying, you know, here's our settlement tablet. Here's our, you know, our workbook for accounting. And can you, you know, how well do you know Excel and Microsoft Excel and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And just go and you don't figure it out. You get help, you get a bit of support, but you, in essence, you have to do it, you know, yourself, you know, you kind of have to learn and on the fly.
And did you get any mentors along the way, Brent, like as you ended up working on? Yeah.
And I mean, every single person that I work with is a mentor, you know, honestly. And the thing is like some of the people that I met when I first started in this business, I mean, I'm still best friends with the guys in my band. And, you know, Chris from that band, who maybe you guys will have on the show one day, he was the guy that was already in a band when I joined the band, and he, you know, was a super inspirational dude that was a mentor to me as a musician, which, you know, really helped get my confidence as a musician, but also like learn, you know, I wanted to learn more about the business because of, you know, he had already been 5 years ahead of me, 6 years ahead of me in music, and it was really cool. And that led to an agent that, you know, taught me how to work out deals. And then it led me to a manager who showed me how to, you know, how he manages a band of like a major Canadian band at a major scale and what goes into that. And then, you know, I get touring and I meet promoters that show me how they do concerts. Right. Mm-hmm. And then my personal production mentors, you know, I still speak to every single day. I mean, I work with them. Some of the people I met in this business in 90, the first tour I ever did as a tour manager, physically tour managing an artist, was 1998. But my one of the first people I met in this business, I met in 1995 at the Austria Civic Auditorium, and he's one of my colleagues, and we work together still almost every single year. And you know, everyone's a mentor because everyone's doing the job at either a bigger scale or they're doing it differently than you, and you're learning from them about how they do it. So I've got tons of them, and I call them all the time and we talk all the time.
Yeah. So what's next for you? What are you working on now, or what are you planning?
Well, I've got another tour that's happening. You know, I've been out with an artist all year, and we have been touring the world, you know, like crazy. And we've got one more big tour happening here starting this Sunday. So I'm not sure when this is going to air, but this is basically from October the 16th until November the 6th. I'll be in South America with this artist, and we're doing, you know, stadiums and arenas all over the place. And then that'll kind of put me off for the rest of the year when I get home. And then I start planning on 23. And 23, I've got another world tour planned with another very large artist, which is exciting. And we're gonna hit probably 50 countries in 23. So
wow,
you're gonna, it's a lot of planning.
Yeah, so we're lucky to have
a lot of planning.
It's
a lot of planning, but it's fun.
Hey, just out of curiosity, do you write it all down as you do, like, do you have checklists and stuff like that that help you to manage it, or do you more or less manage to keep it all in your brain?
Well, that's dangerous, but I definitely have notes, and I definitely, you know, we have a thing that we call an advanced sheet that goes into, like, you know, when you're building a tour, it's sort of an internal checklist just internally, you know, does the, you know, have we done this, and what's happening with you know, let me check with the tour and find out how they're traveling, and you know, do all the markets have all the information that they need, you know, production wise, and what they may be missing. And so I do have a checklist that I go into every tour with, and then I have a follow-up checklist of like, all right, now I've covered off this, the tour started, what needs to change? You know, do we need to adjust this? You know, we're coming in at 7 a.m. Can we come in at 8 a.m.? It's just little tiny things that change as the tour kind of takes life. And then, and then accounting wise, it sort of has the same kind of checklist. It's like, don't forget to click this cell or that cell.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of little tiny things that you have to do, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. What's happening in Port Perry right now as for overall, like how's the scene there for you guys? Do you guys still do a ton of events there?
Well, yeah, Skugog Arts is sort of the home base for Culture Days, and that's always the last weekend of September. And so that's been really good. That's been growing over the 10 years that has happened. And so we always have a music series during the day. And it's been it's a great program because it's promoted nationally and provincially. And they've got some pretty good marketing efforts behind websites and so on. So that although Culture Days happens in every community and it's not unique to Skugog, we do things that make it unique to Skugog. So we make sure that, you know, the musicians are local, or for instance, we've got Indigenous musicians, we have the Mississaugas drumming group, that type of thing, things that are related to the town as far as the music side. And then the visual art side is really trying to relate it to some of the other cultural things in the town. You know, we're in a beautiful little lake, as you know, and there's lots of good fishing in it. So like we hold an arts fishing derby for kids, you know, so they fish in a little pool and they get a lovely wooden die cut fish that's to paint, and they sit down and paint it. And, you know, so we do some, we take a bow to the agricultural fairs that happen in Blackstock, where you grew up, in Port Perry, and we take a bow to it by having a demolition car, and we just park it in the middle of the street and let people paint it, which kids just can't believe that they can actually throw some real paint on a car. So they have a lot of fun with that. And we've now built up around Lake Skugog Studio Tour, which is in May, a whole 10-day festival that involves a lot of music. Now there's a few more venues. Brent, it's like there's more venues but less venues than when you started. So it's like, now we've got Two Bloke Cider, which gives us a great outdoor venue, plus Old Flame Brewery, which they just built a stage inside. So there's that kind of thing that's now available, and not so much the bands in the restaurants. Yes, there's live music, lots of live music's in one of the restaurants, but it's a bit of a, you know, it has its audience that is that restaurant's audience that comes out to it. And I think we still have an underused theater property, but so it's changing, it's evolving. There's still live music. I'd love to see an open mic night happening in town. But yeah, it's there's stuff going on. And
you still have the town hall. You have the town hall. I do see that they do a handful of concerts there, but I always remembered it being a little bit difficult to do shows there. There was just a little bit of, how do I say? It wasn't easy, you know.
The load-in's not great.
Yeah,
the load-in isn't great, but they've got a new sound system. They've got a new lighting system. They're upgrading the sound system even more. They've got some grants to rebuild some of that back end and make that load-in easier. So that's the kind of thing that it's not visually obvious, but it's, part of what they need to do. And to make it a little more of a venue for concerts too would be very cool. So we're kind of working on that, and I think that's a huge opportunity. It's right now it's available for people to rent it to put on their own music shows, but they don't present shows.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. But Adamson's, for instance, you mentioned them. They do a big concert that they use as a, they do it as a fundraiser for Big Brothers Big Sisters. In part, those guys do some of the organizational side of it. And for Adamson's, it's a chance for them to invite people out to actually, they hold it right on their property. And so that people buying the speakers that they sell can come out and actually hear it and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's got a, it's a real multi-purpose kind of an event that they put on. Country music.
I really want your listeners to know that, you know, I see Adamson shirts all around the world.
Yep.
My colleagues use them. A lot of the you know, some of the tours I've been on are using them. So that company, not necessarily, I don't want to say put Port Perry on the map. I'm saying Port Perry is well represented around the world from that company. And so if people wonder about our, you know, that little town, I mean, Adamson is a very respected PA company, and they are extremely prominent around the world. And I don't know if people realize that, you know, just locally in town, what kind of impact that that company has on the music business.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. And a great manufacturing company. So it's, it's cool. It's cool. It's There's lots happening. Yeah.
No, well, it's Brent, a very cool thing. Yeah.
Anything you want to add to our conversation? Anything you
I mean, if there's anybody young, you know, young minds out there that are looking to get involved in the music side of it or all the rest of it, you know, you have avenues now. As you mentioned, there's a few venues there. Don't be afraid to just put, take a risk and rent the Latcham Center and put on a little show for your friends' bands and things like that. I mean, the team that I dealt with when I was starting out, but you know, I would do all my rentals through at the community center and stuff. They're just amazing. They were so supportive of me starting and doing shows, and it was a real big, you know, people still talk about that I'm Mother Earth show that I did at the community center or whatever, and that band still talks about it.
Yeah, cool.
You know, in fact, you get to know artists over the course of a year, and I've you know, become kind of close with a couple of the guys from that band, but I'm known as Brent from Port Perry. You know, what I mean, because of that the effect that show in that small town had, you know, and that was, you know, a big thing. So just don't be afraid to take the risk. I mean, you know, and hopefully the town will recognize people that are taking risks and give them the support they need to try and build a scene there. Because I know what it's like with politics and all the rest of it. And it's like, oh, is it going to be too loud? Or is it going to be this? Or is it going to be that? I understand.
Is it after 11 o'clock?
I'm just like, you can't build a scene unless you take a bit of risk, unless you put on events that might make the neighbor angry at 11:15. But, you know, you've got 1,000 people in town having an incredible time. So, you know, it's just... That's my thing is you gotta have a little bit of risk, and the town has to be able to support a little bit of risk in order to build that, you know.
Yeah, and to not get overly concerned if you're not, you know, you don't make all your goals the first time you do something, and that that it takes time to build up, and you have to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and
You never stop chasing it. I've never stopped chasing my dreams or goals or anything. And they take different, you know, I have a podcast, obviously, now that I go out and I talk to people all from all around the world about their journeys to, you know, making it and their definitions of making it. And everyone's changed. And, you know, I've spoken to artists that, you know, toured the world, sold millions of records, and you'd be like, have you made it? And they're like, well, not really, because I want to do this still. You know, I liken it to like a hockey player working their whole life to make in the NHL. And then they get in there and it's like, well, did you make it? It's like, yeah, but I want to score a goal. Okay, scored a goal. Now what? Well, now I want to win a Stanley Cup. Well, I never won the Stanley Cup. So now I just want to coach for the rest of my life. Like, people's priorities and things change, but they start in tiny little towns like Port Perry and Blackstock and Caesarea, all of them, all three, you know, Lindsay, Peterborough, they've all contributed to my journey because of the opportunities that, you know, I was given in those towns to try to carve out my dream. And just don't stop thinking about it and go after it because, you know, you can get it. And it, you know, I'll never forget my journey starting there with my bandmates, Chris and Dent. You know, those guys, the fellow Brents as well, they are my best friends, and those guys inspire me every day and still inspire me every day. And they gave me an opportunity to join a band and play around the country with them. And that all started in Cartwright Public School and then Port Perry High School. And then,
so tell everybody the name of your podcast.
My show is called the Brenton on Tour podcast. So it's just Brenton on Tour. You can find it at brentonontour.com, and all the episodes are there. And it started with me trying to find all the best coffee in the world. And then it led to finding and talking to musicians who also love coffee around the world. And then it's just kind of taken form and turned into this whole thing where now I do coffee, music, travel, and life, and kind of combine them all into a big show. And there you go. So,
thank you. That's so good. That's cool. Well, we'll send people your way. Thank you to our listeners. Art Waves is brought to you by Skugog Arts with funding from the Ontario Trillium Foundation. And you can subscribe to our podcast and go catch up with some of the past episodes we've been doing. There's some great ones there. See you next time. Thanks, Brett.
Appreciate it. And everyone, have yourself an amazing holiday season and the rest of 2022.
Kids, I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous.
Or sexy.
Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network.
Or on our YouTube channel.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because democracy is something you do.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.